morning will be coming from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Good morning. It is so good to see everybody out this morning. We're thankful that you're here. If you're a visitor with us, we hope that you'll find times to be back with us again and at other opportunities. And we want you to know that you are our honored guest. We have finished our series on the indestructible kingdom. This is not the beginning of another series, but it is a lesson that is important for us to keep in mind. As we live our lives, are we on there or is my thing dead? Go ahead. Thank you. Almost feel lost without that thing in my hand. Even when I drop it from time to time. Oh, well. I'll just catch up when he does. God has always had commandments for us. From the Garden of Eden forward, there have always been things that God said, this is what I want you to do or not to do. For instance, God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat off of that one tree. Or later he told Noah, build an ark of gopher wood. There we go. Now I feel better. He told Abram, later to be known as Abraham, I want you to leave your family, your homeland, and go to a new place. Later, he told him, I want you to take that son that I promised you, and I want you to take him up on this place and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Later, he told the Israelite people through Moses, 600 or more commandments, specific commandments of thou shalt and thou shalt not, summarized from the Mount Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments, but that's just a summary of all that they were expected to do under that law. Then in the days of Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he covered some of those, and he said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt or shalt not. And then he finished that commandment, and then he says, but I say unto you, and he explained better the way they should think about those. And then there's throughout the rest of the pages of the New Testament days the fact that we are to obey the gospel if we want to be one of God's children. And another commandment, that we would love one another. As Christians, we love one another. That we would love our neighbor. That we would even love our enemies. And this is just a small group of things that God has said to men throughout the ages. But regardless of which era that these statements came, there was an expectation that God had for those people that they would obey those commandments. He expected Adam and Eve not to eat off of that tree unless they wanted to suffer the consequences. He expected Noah to build that ark if he wanted to save his family from that coming flood. He expected Abraham to leave his family, his homeland, and to go to a new place that he'd never seen before if he wanted to be a friend of God, if he wanted to be faithful and righteous. And so God has always expected obedience. I want us to think this morning about this thought that came from our text, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. If you keep God's commandments is the title of our lesson this morning. And I want to use that to preface each of the points as we go through, because just like in our text, there are promises that are involved in that. So, if you keep God's commandments, you can know that you know Him. In our text from 1 John chapter 2, particularly verse 3, hereby you can know that you know Him if you keep His commandments. He goes on to say that if you say you know Him but don't keep His commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And you think about that, how important that is if we want to know God. And I want us to understand the difference between knowing about and knowing. I'm sure that I could mention a celebrity of some type, a sports star or a movie star or a TV personality or something. Something that if that person walked into this room, some or all of us would say, I know who that is. I remember one of the first times I mentioned this thought in conjunction with this text, that Michael Jordan was at the apex of his fantastic basketball career, where he could do things that most men couldn't do on the basketball court. And he was perceived as a good person publicly, and they used him in commercials and all. And I said one time that if Michael Jordan came in here, I think I would say, I know who that is. That's Michael Jordan. Now, I might not, because I've also experienced that in the other way. But you should get the point. That there are people that would show up that some or all of us would say, I know who that is, but that doesn't mean we know them. I never knew Michael Jordan. I could tell you some things about him, but I never even met him. So how could I know him? But we never corresponded on Twitter or Facebook or text message or a phone call or a letter or anything. All that I knew about him was what I saw on TV and read in the paper. So I didn't know him. I knew about him. There's a difference, though, between knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. It requires a relationship in order for us to know something. Now, let's think about this. Is it possible for me to know him if he doesn't know me? Think about that. Is it possible for me to know God if he doesn't know me? We have to have that relationship. It's important for us to have a relationship to be able to say we know somebody. So then you might ask the question, well, why would he not know me? Didn't he make all of us in his image? Yes. Doesn't he love everybody? Yes. He has to know who we are, because the Bible says he knows the hairs on our head, or if a sparrow falls to the earth. Certainly, somebody that powerful and all-knowing knows me. Yes, he knows who you are. But you can't say he knows you if you're not keeping his commandments. He knows who you are, but you don't have that relationship with him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount towards the end, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's keeping the commandments. There's the thought there that Jesus said. He later goes on to say, and using the illustration, if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, then you're like the wise man. If you hear them and do them not, you're like the foolish man. But ultimately, there was one statement I skipped over till now. There's a time he's going to tell them, I never knew you. Jesus is the Son of God. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ruling over the kingdom until the end. He's the head of all things to the church. He's like the Father. He knows who I am, but if I don't have a relationship with him, he doesn't know me in the sense that we're talking about. But notice what John said. If you know him, you can know that you know him if you keep his commandments. So why is knowing him so important? Because if we don't have that relationship to him, then what's it going to be like when we get to the judgment seat? We'll be like those that Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. In his prayer in John 17, early on, he prayed that the apostles would know God, because that was eternal life. It's important for us to know God, not just to know about Him. There's plenty of people in the world who know there's a God, but they're not keeping His commandments. There's plenty of people in the world who know that Jesus is the Son of God, but they're not submitted to Him to keep His commandments. They don't have that relationship that's going to get them eternal life. Number two, if you keep His commandments, you shall abide in His love. Think about that. God loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son. And He did that despite the fact that we were sinners. But we don't abide in His love unless we're keeping His commandments. John 15:10, Jesus said to them, "If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love." That's what Jesus said. But Jesus and the Father are the same as one. So that principle applies to that. God loves everybody, but everybody doesn't abide in His love. John 14:15 and following, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. But he that does not love Me does not keep My commandments." He's making a direct connection there. We can't abide in His love if we don't love Him, and we don't love Him if we don't keep His commandments. That's from the words of our Savior. 1 John 5:3, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." What if we don't? How can we expect to be in His love if we're not willing to do what He says? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call you Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you keep God's commandments, you shall not be ashamed. You think about that. Adam and Eve, when they were created in the garden, towards the end of Genesis chapter 2, says they were naked and they were not ashamed. But then they ate off of that tree, and then they were terribly ashamed. Ashamed to be in the presence of God. Ashamed that He would know that they were naked. He said, "Who told you you were naked?" They were ashamed because they were guilty. David wrote in Psalm 119, "I have respect unto Your commandments, therefore I am not ashamed." That's the way we need to be. Not ashamed because we respect the commandments. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, "If we abide in Him, we shall not be ashamed at His coming." There's a day coming when Jesus is coming back. When He comes back, this time it'll be a lot different than when He came the first time. Because when He comes back the next time, it's the end. It's the end of time on this planet. It will be the time then where we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're all going to bow our knee and we're all going to confess Him that He's Lord. But those that refuse to do that in this life are end up going to be ashamed before Him, because He's going to say to them, "Depart from Me, I never knew you." If we keep His commandments, will be His friend. We don't go through life to be His friend in that sense. We have the relation with He's our Heavenly Father. God is. Jesus is our Redeemer, our High Priest, our Mediator, our King, our Lord. But that doesn't mean we can't be considered His friend. John 15:14, Jesus told them, "You are My friends if you keep My commandments." How about that? Matthew 15, or 12:50, Jesus said about those who would keep His commandments, it's the same as being His brother, His sister, His mother. That's about the closest relationship you can have with somebody. Perhaps outside of your spouse and your children, that relationship, that blood relationship we have, is supposed to be close. Jesus said, "If you keep My commandments, if you abide in My love, that you are this to Me." James 2:21, James, in talking about Abraham and his faith, he cites the Old Testament that says, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him to righteousness. But in the context of James chapter 2, where he's saying we have to demonstrate that faith by being willing to do that which God wants us to do. But he said Abraham was called the friend of God. It wasn't just because he believed that God was. It's because he did what God asked him to do. When he said, leave your family and homeland and go to a place you've never been before, he went. But when he told him to offer his son Isaac, his only promised son, Isaac as a sacrifice, he was willing to do that because he believed God and he was going to do the commandments of God, even if it meant sacrificing his son. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us the reason that he did that was he knew that if God needed to, he could raise Isaac back from the dead in order to keep his promise to him. It's because he believed, which means he obeyed. That's why he's a friend of God. If you keep God's commandments, you'll have access to the tree of life. Access to the tree of life. In Revelation 22:14, it mentions that specifically. Those who have kept the commands of God shall have access to the tree of life. You know, if you eat off of that tree, you'll never die. In fact, in the garden, that was one of the reasons when Adam and Eve sinned, they were taken away from there, so they wouldn't live forever. It's even mentioned in one of the letters that John wrote to those seven churches in Asia, Revelation 2, to he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life. You know, we only see that mentioned a few times in the Scriptures. It's mentioned in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned and they were cast out of the garden, and he set up angelic guards to guard the way to that so that they couldn't get back to there. Then we don't see it again till these two texts in Revelation that I mentioned. But if you're eating off the tree of life, guess where you are? Because it's in heaven. And so if you're eating off of that tree, you're going to be in heaven too. Now think about all these things that we've mentioned. About if we will obey His commandments. Here's one more. If you keep His commandments, you shall have eternal life. Isn't that really what all of those things have been saying? We can know that we know Him. We abide in His love. We'll be His friend. We'll have access to the tree of life. All of those mean basically the same thing. We're going to have eternal life. And isn't that why we're assembled together? It's so that we can understand and know that we have an opportunity for eternal life. But if we're keeping His commandments, we have assurance that we're going to have those things. Matthew 19:16. A man came to Jesus and he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Basically, Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? Jesus named off some of them. He said, I've kept all these for my life. Well, for all my life, what do I lack? He gave him one more. He says, take what you have and sell it. Give it to the poor and come and follow me and you shall have eternal life. But he wouldn't do that. He was okay to honor father and mother. He was okay to not kill and to not commit adultery and to not steal and to not covet and so forth. Not bow down to images, but he wasn't willing to give up his riches on this earth in order to inherit eternal life. But we're not under the Old Testament law. Sure, I know there are certain things under the Old Testament law of Moses that are still applicable today because they've always been. There's always just been one God and He didn't want us to have another one. He's always said, if you keep my commandments, then this is what you can expect. It's still wrong to murder. It's still wrong to commit adultery. Just because that law's been done away with doesn't mean that those things weren't carried over into the New Testament. We're under the law of Christ. We're under Jesus. And Jesus is that prophet that Moses mentioned in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken. Hearken. There's a key. He mentions it again later in about verse 18 or 19. Hearken. That you better hearken unto him, because if you don't hearken unto that prophet that Paul and Peter made the connection that it was Jesus, it will be required of you. What does that mean? What did it mean for Adam and Eve? God said, don't eat off of that tree or you will die. They ate. Guess what happened? That's the way it is. God gave the Israelites the law of Moses. Keep these things and be blessed. Don't keep them and be cursed. Guess what they chose most of them, almost all the time? They chose not to be blessed because they chose not to obey the commandments. It will be required of you. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9 talks about our Savior, Jesus Christ. If though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Obeying him means keeping his commandments. We have to do that. So we've looked now at all the, not all, but many promises that are made to us in the Scriptures that are conditioned upon keeping the commandments of God. We can know we know Him. We can have eternal life. We can be His friend. We can abide in His love. We can eat off the tree of life. Those are promises that God gave to us even though we don't deserve them. So what commandments do I keep? As Jesus was about to depart from this world, He said, all power, that means all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You shall, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Now think about that. Teaching them, that's us, to observe all things. That's everything Jesus commanded them. We're to observe that. Now I don't have to list them out, but you know what they are. One of the things he mentioned was how we're supposed to love one another. Another commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Another man came to Jesus another time and says, what's the greatest commandment? And I know in my heart that he came there to trick Jesus. To trick him to say, this is the greatest commandment. Well, are you talking about out of the 10 or out of the 600? Jesus didn't fall for that trick, because what if Jesus had said that thou shalt not murder is the greatest commandment? Well, then that would have opened him up to questioning. Well, what about adultery? What about coveting? What about idolatry? But Jesus said the greatest commandment is this: to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Then he said, and the second one is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now Jesus said that to do that, that those two commandments covered everything that were in the law and the prophets. They had no argument. This guy had no argument to give him, because this was covered everything. It still covers everything. If everybody loved God with everything they had and they loved everybody as they're supposed to, we wouldn't have to have 600,000 commandments. God loves us because we're made in His image. He wants us to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But all are not. He wants us to be in His grace. You know, He's offered us something we don't deserve, something we could not do for ourselves. He sent His Son to die on the cross because we're sinners. Not because we're righteous, not because we're good, not because we come to church every Sunday, not because we give as we're supposed to, but because we were sinners and we needed that. But we don't deserve that. In Ezekiel 18 it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In Romans chapter 6, Paul said, the wages of sin is death. And in chapter 3, he said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what we deserve. We don't deserve to be in His grace. And we don't earn our way into His grace. We have to obey, though, to be there. If we're not willing to submit ourselves to obey the commandments of God, we cannot expect that we can be in His grace as much as He wants us to. He's not violating that which He's promised. Obedience, though, is not earning anything. That's His gift. I believe it's in Luke 17. where Jesus was asked by his disciples to show them how to have more faith. And he gave them an example. But at the end of the example, he said this: even if you keep everything that's been commanded you, you should consider yourself as unprofitable servants. Why? Because we don't deserve that which God gives us. We deserve to die, but He doesn't want us to die, and He's therefore given us this opportunity to participate in His promises because He promised them. Because He said, if you keep His commandments, you can know that you know Him. You can abide in His love. You can have eternal life. You can eat off the tree of life. You can be His friend. If we can keep His commandments. Obedience is submission. That's all God has ever wanted from anybody. I'm your God. Worship me. I made you. I love you. I want you to be saved. But unless you're willing to submit to me, I won't. That's why we have the warnings about the day of judgment that's coming. There's probably more promises I could have found that had to do with that. More promises that said, if you keep God's commandments, this is what you can expect. But isn't that enough? God uses two means to try to get us to avoid going to hell. One is the carrot. You know, there's the carrot that you put in front of the horse to get him to go. There's the carrot. If you love me, if you do that which I ask you to, here's the beautiful place that you can end up in eternity. Read Revelation 20 and 21 and see how great that it sounds. But that carrot's not enough for some people. So he has to use the whip. If you don't keep my commandments, then you're going to this other place and it's painted in there as an awful place that you might end up. He doesn't want you to go there. He loves you. He doesn't want you to go there. He's shown mercy and grace. But if you don't submit, He has no choice. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel. That means you've neglected the very first commandments that it helps to get you to be His child, to hear His word and to believe that God is and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him, to believe that Jesus Christ is His Son whom He sent to die on the cross for our sins, and He resurrected Him from the grave on the third day, and He raised Him up into heaven to sit at His right hand to be our King. And that when we understand that, He expects us to be willing to repent, to change our lives, to change the way we think, to change the way we act, away from ungodliness and worldliness and turn towards God. And not to be ashamed that you want to be one of His, to be able to stand up and say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God before mankind. So that shows you're not ashamed of Him. And then to submit yourself to baptism in order to have your sins washed away. Because when you go into that baptistry and then you come back out, if you have been right with God in that process, He's washing away your sins in that water by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The water has nothing to do with it. It's the act of submitting to God that allows Him to apply the blood. And then He wants us to walk faithful to Him in all that we do. And sometimes we're going to mess up. But He's faithful to forgive us when we're faithful to confess and repent of those sins. You may be here this morning, you're not a child of God. Or you may be here this morning and you're not a faithful child of God. And we want to help you this morning to get your life right with God so that you can say, I'm His friend. I know Him. I can abide in His love and I can access the tree of life and I can have eternal life and know it. If we can assist you this morning to get right with God, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?